at First Lutheran Church in Minot, North Dakota.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 7th chapter. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. I actually chuckled out loud at my desk when I read this gospel reading earlier this week from Mark chapter 7. I mean, it's a serious issue and everything. The Pharisees are upset. It is an important teaching of Jesus. But I laughed because it reminded me of this timeless human trait. 10 years ago, I would not have guessed that one of my primary roles as a mother would be to repeatedly say to my offspring, "Did you wash your hands? Go wash your hands. Go wash your hands with soap. Remember to wash your hands when you're done. Did you use soap?" Hashtag boy mom. But I don't think I'm the only parent or person to feel like a broken record sometimes on that point. And here, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus' disciples are being called out by the religious leaders for not washing their hands before dinner. So I can relate. Mark, the author, seems to sympathize with the Pharisees. In that parenthetical, in verse 3, the narrator tells us, "The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands." But guess what? Jesus' disciples were definitely Jews and obviously weren't bound to the practice. So in fact, practices of ritual washings did vary group to group and people to people, place to place, even among the Jews. So why were the scribes and Pharisees so upset? Well, I ask my boys to wash their hands, either because they've been outside playing in a drought year and every pore is caked with dirt and dust, or because they've been to school or daycare or shopping or out and about and there are things like viruses that make it extra important to wash your hands when you get home. But the Pharisees, intellectuals though they were, they didn't know about germs and bacteria. The issue the Pharisees had with unwashed hands wasn't what my issues with unwashed hands are. They weren't concerned with dirty hands. They were concerned with defiled hands, hands that were ritually impure. So Jesus picks through this complicated issue and goes right to the heart of the matter. And he does it without denigrating at all the law of Moses that God had given the people back in the days of Exodus, which is important to note. You heard in our reading from Deuteronomy that reminder of the value and importance of God's law in building a good life together. The law is not the problem. Instead, Jesus here rejects the customs and the teachings of the elders, the human traditions and the interpretations of the law that can sometimes begin to overshadow the actual intentions of the law. Jesus, who was also a faithful Jew, isn't saying that purity laws and defilement aren't an important issue. He's just saying that that's not the most important issue. What is much more important than carrying out a cleansing ritual is addressing the real, actual, practical ways that human beings become polluted and profane. And that has little to do with ritual impurity and everything to do with the impurity of the heart. The problem here, Jesus is saying, isn't dirty hands or ignored customs. The problem is embedded within you and within all of us. As much as those Pharisees would have chosen the right foods and prepared them in the correct ways according to the tradition, they too were defiled, no, not by ritually unclean hands, but by the intentions of their hearts. And that is true of all of us. As we try hard to make good choices for holy living, as far as we try to stay away from who or what is bad or evil out there, the problem is that sin is within each of us. It's part of who we are. We are people who struggle daily with things like deceit, envy, slander, pride, and folly, and probably some other things that didn't make Jesus' list in verses 21 and 22. Pretty hard to avoid sin and defilement or wash it off our hands when it is inside of us. This world is troubled right now, obviously, undeniably. And people in Jesus' day undoubtedly felt the same way. The Pharisees in this passage end up locating the problem of evil in the world with how Jesus' disciples didn't do some ritual hand dipping before they ate a meal. Is that really the problem? Jesus has to redirect to what is more important, not what goes into your body, but what comes out. How do the intentions of your heart become manifest in the world through your words and actions, through your attitudes and postures? Because that is sin, and that is the problem. So what can we do? What does it take for us to live godly lives if a ritual hand washing won't cut it? Well, it takes a lot of grace. It takes a lot of God's power at work in us so that we can be disciplined to act out of love rather than out of the sinful intentions of our heart. And we won't do it alone. We are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves, as we so frequently tell God and one another. But God has given us a new reality and a new identity in our baptism so that we are not only sinners, but rather we are simultaneously saints and sinners. With God's help, we can live out lives of love, lives that promote goodness and well-being for ourselves and others. But it's also more than that. As insurmountable as constraining our own individual hearts may seem, the call is greater still. Because it isn't only our individual hearts that harbor sinful intentions, but the hearts of our collective existence, the heart of the body of Christ even, the heart of our society and our institutions where evil and impure intentions can also reside, from which defiling and destructive words, actions and attitudes also come. In our communal being human, we are prone to sin not only against God, but against one another, all of us, perpetrators and victims, and round until the evil intentions of the heart take shape in this world as anger and rage, hate and violence, factions and division, destruction, and ultimately profound idolatry. So reckoning with your own heart's intentions in quiet solitude is important. But we also must do this work together. We, who Jesus called the salt of the earth and the light of the world, we must season society with love in rich and robust ways. We must bear bright witness to life-affirming, goodness-giving, God-revealing truths. Sin is real not only within each of us, but among us and beyond us as well. So as followers of Jesus, we are to tend not only to a personal faith, but also to a public witness, to speak and act out the heart of God in this world, and to point to divine grace and love with the life that we live together. And in doing that, to the best of our ability and by the grace of God, we may or may not have followed every pattern or observed every important custom or tradition, but we can be assured that we have done what is most important. We have fulfilled the greatest law and commandment, to love God fully and to love our neighbors, all of them, with the love of Jesus. Looking at others in judgment of their defilement, as the Pharisees had done, only distracts us from what we truly need to contend with. It's not the accusing you that the church must concern itself with, which simply justifies the claim of you hypocrites articulated by Jesus in verse 6 and by society still today. Rather, living a holy life is about I and it's about we in relationship with God. So yes, wash your hands, but also, and more importantly, check your hearts. There's value in custom and tradition, but these are never the most important things. Until the day we are all gathered into God's kingdom with God's perfect wisdom and grace, may we trust God to strengthen and guide us in holy living for the sake of the world. Amen.